What's going on, everybody? Welcome to the North Shore 9 postgame show powered by Primanti's. I'm Jim. With me is Neil. Neil, the Pirates dropped the home opener today, 5-2 versus the Baltimore Orioles. We will get to the game, but Neil, happy home opener. You know, it didn't come out the way that we wanted it to, but hey, baseball's back in the burg.
Yeah. I mean, the vibes were, at least from my TV screen, just seems so great. Even though it was disgusting outside, it snowed for half the game.
Oh, we just lost Neil's audio there. But to kind of expand upon that, yeah, vibes seemed pretty crazy there, especially early on. Like Jared Jones coming out right out of the gate, pumping high 90s, getting swings and misses on the fastball. That the first two batters struck out Gunnar Henderson, struck out Adley Rutschman. It couldn't have been a better start to the game for Jared Jones and the crowd.
The first was incredible.
The crowd was
everyone was going crazy. Codify on Twitter was posting, like everyone was posting about Jared Jones sitting down, Rutschman and Gunnar, and then he was good all day.
I thought he was great. Yeah, like we'll get to his start, but yeah, pretty impressive stuff. That was Adley Rutschman's first strikeout of the season. So Jared Jones looked good, but the rest of the Pirates bats kind of cold again, kind of like the weather. It was snowing, it was sleeting, there was hail at times. Pirates bats outside of O'Neill Cruz and Key Brian Hayes, both with good games, and Triolo added a homer late. But outside that, not a whole lot offensively happening for the Pirates. Some pretty rough at bats too, especially from like the middle of the order, 4, 5, 6, 7. Combined to go 0-16 today with 9 strikeouts. So not what you want to see out of the middle of your order. And to give Baltimore some credit, like this, they didn't do this against a bunch of scrubs. Like Grayson Rodriguez, I thought looked really good. He and Jared Jones kind of just matched each other pitch for pitch. 6 1/3, 2 runs from Rodriguez, 6 innings, 2 runs from Jones, both 7 strikeouts. It was a nice pitching matchup today. Two young electric arms, and they didn't disappoint. And it was a tough day for the hitters.
Yeah, it was. And the 4-7, just that was the game right there. The game was our 4-7 hitters just not producing any. And I think that we jammed the bases early with Grayson. We had a lot of people in scoring position early in that game, and we just couldn't deliver like Baltimore could. And that was the big, that was the game changer, sadly.
Yeah. Especially, later on the Pirates were able to kind of scratch across a second run, but Baltimore was able to add on against the Pirates bullpen, which, we haven't been able to see really this year. The Pirates bullpen's up to this point has been able to kind of keep that deficit where it's been at, giving the offense some opportunities to come back into the game. Today, Ryan Brucki gives up 2 runs. Hunter Stratton gives up a run. So the bullpen doesn't really get the job done. And ultimately, that ended up being the difference. But let's get into this game, right? So home opener, I think it was 35 degrees, something like that at first pitch. Freezing weather. Not really what you wanted. Not really baseball weather. But PNC Park was packed. Jared Jones on the mound. Blackout, the fans showed up. It was a really, really good atmosphere. If you were at the game and you're tuning in to this show, put it in the comments, like comment how the game was. Like I want to hear how the game was. But on TV, it looked pretty electric, especially that first inning. Right out of the gate, Jared Jones just flashes that fastball and it looked unhittable, and it's not like he was doing it against some scrubs like he was doing against Gunnar Henderson and Adley Rutschman. So, a lot of, a lot of excitement early on, but I mean, tell me, what did you think about Jerry Jones tonight?
He was really good. And you know, I think I wrote a little earlier, like in spring training, about how like location might be something that's going to bother him. And I think that was the case with the home runs to O'Hearn and Gunner, where he just kind of left fastballs out in the middle of the plate. And, you know, MLB hitters are good, but I mean, I think Joe Block tweeted out that only he's tied Shohei Ohtani with the most whiffs through two games. That's so good. Like, his stuff was electric today. And if he misses a couple of times, like, you can live with that, but he was awesome. Like, against a good team who is really good at hitting, I thought he was really it was a lot of fun to watch him. He's electric.
Yeah, it was a really good start. So the stat that you mentioned, so since 1988, when they kind of started tracking these, I think, but since 1988, the most swings and misses in a pitcher's first two major league starts, 43, and that's Jared Jones and Shohei Ohtani. They're both tied with 43 for the most. So pretty impressive company by Jared Jones. Again, I think he had 20, I think his first start, he had 22. This start, he has 21. So yeah, that fastball in particular, he was locating it at the top of the zone, and he was even throwing some right down the pipe, and Baltimore just could not hit it.
Oh yeah, especially early on, like hit Santander, who's a really good hitter.
Yeah,
just getting blown away with his fastball, and that was special. Like he is a special type of talent.
Yeah.
Anyway, he deserved better than he deserved a little bit more offensive support today.
Yeah, I mean, he gets tagged with the loss, six innings, six hits, two runs, no walks. That stuck out too. Like, he gave up the two runs on two solo homers, right? Mm-hmm. And that's the thing with Jared Jones. Like, he throws hard. He elevates that fastball. So when you elevate your fastball, right, you're going to get swings and misses. But it's also, if you're making contact at that high heat, it's going to be elevated, and it could go out of the park, right? So
yeah.
I think this is just kind of one of those things you're going to get with Jared Jones. You're going to see the home runs. You're going to see the strikeouts.
Mm-hmm.
What's going to make Jared Jones, what's going to be the difference maker here with Jared Jones is, can he limit base runners so that when he does give up those occasional home runs, it's a solo shot, right? And not a two run or three run homer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I would say two things like really stood out to me. One was his efficiency. Like, he got a lot of swings and miffs, misses. And he went through six innings at only 80 pitches. Like that, and like you said, zero walks. So he was attacking the zone. He was aggressive. But also, I say his mentality on the mound, like, you could not tell that he gave up those home runs. He kind of just went back and started. He didn't change the game plan, and that confidence from a guy that young, that's really cool.
Yeah, I mean, he definitely has confidence in himself. He was feeling it out there. He was feeding off the energy of the crowd. Mm-hmm. It's going to be exciting watching this kid pitch. I can just tell through two starts, like there's just something about him, right? I think coming up through the minors, we all had our concerns if this guy was going to be a starting pitcher or not. Mm-hmm. Something over the offseason happened to that fastball in particular.
Yeah.
To make it just absolutely elite. And like this guy's a starting pitcher now. Like he's good enough. He's going to start. Now it's just a matter of like, how good can he be?
Yeah. No, and like you said, like it's going to be like that thing where he's always going to be a little limited. There's going to be that home run problem. But even if he has that home run problem, he's sitting like, you know, under a 4 ERA with that many strikeouts. That's still like a really, really important piece to have around.
Yep.
So yeah. I'm excited.
Yeah, I compared him to like Jacob DeGrom last. Like, he's not quite Jacob DeGrom, but like, I mean, through two starts, he's like a Jacob DeGrom light. You know, let's go ahead and say that. Like,
I have seen enough that I would give him an extension right now.
Seriously,
I know it might be a little hyperbolic, but if we could put him on like 10 years on the table right now, I would take that risk every day of the week.
And to be honest, like if you're starting him opening day and you don't have any plans on sending him down, like he's using up a full year of service time right now. Like, I mean, I don't know if you approach him with an extension right now, but yeah, he looks good. Like he looks like someone who could be a mainstay in this rotation for years to come. And again, it's just two starts, and maybe we're really overhyping this, but the stuff is incredible. It's it's obviously elite, the numbers that he's putting up. We really need to be excited about Jared Jones going forward. So
yeah, I mean, when your fastball is grading out at the same level as Spencer Strider, you know you're doing something right, and that's a special talent to have. So
yep. On the offensive side of things, again, especially early on, I think at one point I tweeted it out, but O'Neal Cruz and Ke'Bryan Hayes were 5 for 5 at one point, and the rest of the offense was 0 for 18. Jared Triolo did add a late solo homer to at least give one hit to the rest of the team. But let's talk about O'Neal Cruz. I thought he had an excellent game at the plate. Going the opposite way with singles, working counts, two strike approach, putting the ball in play. His first two hits were really just getting the barrel to the ball, poking it out the opposite field. He started off 2 for 2, and then he finally got a hold of one. He hit his second home run of the season off of Rodriguez in the fifth. He's looking good. He's looking good. 3 for 4 yeah. today. His batting average now 344. Like I said, putting the ball in play as much as he's doing, he's so fast that like if he puts the ball in play, he should have a fairly high, BABIP. But 344 average, 382 on base percentage, the slugging up to 531. So the OPS over 900 now. Great start to the season for Cruz.
Yes, but and especially after like facing five lefty starters to start the year and managers intentionally making sure that he can't see righty relievers. Like, yeah, it's about all you could ask for. Like 2 home runs through 7 games or 8 games. Two home runs through 8 games. Like, that's exactly what you want to see. Like, I was surprised to see him have so many hits out to the opposite field. But if it works, it works,
Right.
I want them to let him run more on the base paths.
I could see that. Yeah. I agree with you. But at the end of the day too, if like being less aggressive on the base paths means he can stay healthier, not pushing him maybe, I'm all for that too. But I don't think O'Neal Cruz is going to hit 340,
never.
If that average, like I was thinking he was going to be like a 250 guy, but like if that average can be like close to 300 even, like that kind of puts him in a different stratosphere than I thought he'd be.
Yeah, and the strikeouts will catch up to him, I think. But no, I mean, it's definitely a different approach. Like in 2022, like his first full year, he was kind of selling out for power all the time. He's gotten a lot better at like protecting the zone. And I can't believe he's one of the few hitters that feels like with situational hitting awareness, but he's
it really, guys. Yeah, it really is. It really is. Ke'Bryan Hayes again, also another good game. He started off 2 for 2 with a walk, got out in his last plate appearance, but he just keeps hitting 2 for 3. He's hitting 324 OPS over 840. Good defense today too. I think it was good to kind of see him. Maybe it was because he officially got the Gold Glove today before the game. Yeah. So he's in possession of the Gold Glove, so he can go back to being Gold Glove Ke'Bryan Hayes. But I thought he looked really good today.
I was at the game. Did he get charged with an error yesterday too?
He did.
Okay, I thought it was, but I couldn't be sure. So I was like, that's 3. But yeah, no, he was great today. It's just been a pleasure to watch him hit now. I never thought like his hitting would take precedence over his fielding at any point, but no, he's been great. And he kept getting on base. He kept giving us opportunities to score runs. And that's really all you can ask for a guy who struggled as much as him. And he's continuing it. It's a continuation from last year. And that's the fun part.
Yeah. But we'll talk about some of the issues now on offense. Like I said, Cruz, Hayes looking good. Brian Reynolds should have probably grounded into 2 double plays, but he got bailed out on a Jordan Westberg bobble in the first inning. And then, Cruz was on base the second time, which allowed him to just kind of get a ground out, but not the best game for Reynolds, but Sawinski, McCutchen, Telez, Davis. Woo. Rough game for those four. Like I said, they combined to go 0 for 16 with 9 strikeouts. I want to talk in particular, Jack Sawinski, 0-for-2 with runners in scoring position. He's now 1-for-9 on the year with runners in scoring position. Andrew McCutchen looked lost at the plate, 0-for-4. He's now 1-for-8 with runners in scoring position on the season. So just Sawinski and McCutchen, not great starts to the season. And, you know, when you have them 4-5 in the lineup, they were up to bat in big situations today, and they just really they were bad at bats. Like, they didn't even really put together good plate appearances. They seemed kind of overmatched the entire game. Are you concerned at all? And you know, there's people saying that, you know, McCutchen's washed, and I'm not going to go that far, but like, it's early on, McCutchen looks pretty bad. Like, what are your early season thoughts on Kutch? Yeah,
he's always been a slow starter, but he just hasn't looked competitive outside of one game where he got 2 hits. And it's not what we're used to with Kutch. I know he's not the young superstar that he used to be, but I'm kind of concerned just because of how uncompetitive he looks at the plate. He hasn't looked comfortable. He swings and misses it a lot. So I'm a little concerned. I know it'll pick up. It's like in some capacity,
yeah.
But when you need more from your DH, if he's going to be hitting the middle of that lineup every single time he's out there, I think he's got to get moved down until he figures it out.
Yeah, and maybe it has to do with, like, he didn't get a ton of playing time in spring training, so maybe his timing's a little off, because you can tell, like, the timing is off. He's behind on a lot of pitches. That's where those pop-ups are coming from, right? If he's putting the ball in play, it's just going straight up in the air, it seems like. So, yeah, not the best start to the season for Kutch. It would have been pretty cool, like, getting number 300 at the home opener. Like, that would have been just, like, the perfect script, right?
Yeah.
But that didn't happen. There's some comments here. Like, maybe it's time to get Olivares, you know, a little bit more time. We haven't seen a whole lot of Olivares, so maybe we see a little bit more of him in the coming days. Henry Davis too, my dude. Like, hey, I will defend Henry Davis to the very last breath. But he is in a bit of a slump. He hit two hits in that first game in Washington, but since then, 0-for-his-last-12. He struck out 3 times today. Again, also just looked completely overmatched. He seems the issue right now that I'm noticing with him is he's having a really hard time on balls on the inner half of the plate, like balls that are either in off the plate or on that inner half. He's not really getting extended. He's getting jammed up on those. And then he's not catching up to those high fastballs. So it's weird, because before, like last season, you know this too well, you wrote like a 6,000 word expose on Henry Davis and how he can't hit sliders, right? He's actually doing a good job. I feel like he's laying off the breaking pitches. Like he's letting them go for balls, but it's the fastballs either up or in he's having issues with.
Yeah. And I don't know if that's a new swing, but you're right. Like, it hasn't been the sliders, which has been the weird thing. Cause if you told me, at this point, like if you went back in time and told me, oh yeah, Henry Davis is managing sliders pretty well now, I would have thought he'd be hitting like Brian Hayes is hitting right now. But yeah, I don't know if it's a new swing that like he's just behind on these fastballs, but he also just does not look comfortable at the plate at all. Like today, I think especially today, I mean, it's a little harder when you're in person to see, but, and you can tell me if you look back, like look overmatched in the National Series, but today it was... It did not look like he was ever going to put a ball in play. And
yeah,
it's rough when you need him to be good. Like if he is not good, you're now starting to see like a couple of black holes in the lineup, and that's going to be a big problem.
Yeah. We talk about like this lineup and the length, and it definitely has length, and it has more length than it has had. Really, in the near recent history, right?
Yeah,
like these are at least major leaguers, you know, in this lineup. But yeah, like if Henry Davis is firing on all cylinders, that just makes this lineup that much better. Because right now, it seems like Cruz, Reynolds, Hayes, like you can rely on those three. Like they're putting together good games day in, day out. Michael A. Taylor's looking like he's at least giving you good at bats. Jared Triolo's always giving you good at bats. You know, he's somewhat limited at the plate there, but he hits the homer today. Yeah. Right? I didn't see that coming with the weather. But he puts a charge into one, gets his first home run of the season, which is nice. Cause I think a lot of people were trashing on Triolo yesterday, saying that they were kind of fed up with them. So it was good to see the home run from Triolo, but middle of the order, you're not going to win very many games when 4-7 go over 16.
Yeah. And it's nice that it was pretty competitive despite like a 2-1, like there was like full on belief. The crowd had gotten back into it. Like you kind of felt like, all right, Grayson's going to be getting a little tired. But yeah, when I think it was those two back-to-back pop-ups with runners in scoring position from Kutch and Suwinski, stuff like that just really takes the wind out of your sails. And you know, I'm glad that we have the power. Like those two home runs are great, but the Orioles had the power, and then they were also able to strain hits together, which I think the Pirates just really struggled to do today. And that's because 4-7 couldn't hit. And yeah, that's the story. It's the story of the game, which is sad, but you can't, like you said, you can't win them all.
Yeah. I mean, it's, they're still 6-2. They're still in, you know, they're still in first place. Like we're sitting in a pretty good spot right now. That was today. Like I said, glad to see baseball back in Pittsburgh. Hopefully the weather gets a little bit better over the weekend. I haven't checked the Pittsburgh forecast, but hopefully the weather gets a little bit better and the fans back home in Pittsburgh can see some good baseball games and not, you know, freeze to death.
I hope so too, because I froze to death for 3 straight days. It was not fun. I mean, I enjoyed being at the park, but no, the weather's been miserable all week. Hopefully Bailey Falter holds the line tomorrow. I'm not confident, but I'm hoping.
So Bailey Falter tomorrow against Tyler Wells, game 2 of the series. Baltimore's now 5-2, Pirates 6-2. I want to see them use Falter a little bit differently. Like when they said that Falter was going to be the starting pitcher, I didn't really think they were like, yeah, Falter's going to go out there every fifth day and try to throw 5 innings. Right. I wasn't expecting that to be the plan. So I would like to see them maybe use him as just someone like, hey, let's get Bailey Falter one time through the order. Right.
Yeah.
And then let's move to the next guy. We'll see how he does tomorrow against the Baltimore Orioles and Tyler Wells. But you got anything else to add today? I mean, the Pirates, again, bullpen, Brucky gave up 2 runs, which was, you know, not like him. But that inning, too, like Baltimore didn't hit the ball hard off of him at all. I don't think
that was the most frustrating part, is that inning was like, that was so frustrating seeing them dink all those hits in the left field. Like that, the Adley Rutschman hit that really should have been caught. It was frustrating. And, you know, sometimes I think the Pirates had a lot of that luck in the National Series and in the Marlins Series. So it's going to come around. But I'm still not really worried about the bullpen. You know, if those are the type of hits the bullpen are giving up, or even like that Cedric Mullins home run, I don't like think that's a home run in a whole lot of parks.
I mean, if the fence is 10 feet farther back, that's curse foul. You look at the homers today. Yeah, like that home run. If in most ballparks, that's foul.
And I think
Ryan O'Hearn home run was a home run in one ballpark, PNC Park. And then the Gunnar Henderson home run, it was a homer in like half of the ballparks.
That was a full on.
But it scraped the wall. Like Michael A. Taylor was 2 feet from catching that ball.
Yeah, that's true.
It's baseball. You're going to lose some games, right? Like there's nothing for me. Like I'm not looking at this game and saying like, oh man, it's over. Right. Yeah. The Pirates played a game against a really good team and they lost things didn't go their way, hopefully they can take, I just want them to take one out of this series. Like obviously
at least two,
that's ideal. But if they can take one game here, keep some momentum going, go into the next series at, you know, 7-3.
Yeah, you feel a lot better. I think today was just annoying because of the way the Orioles scored the runs, especially off the bullpen where they just put it out of reach, because it just felt kind of fluky. But the Orioles are just that good of a baseball team. They do that all the time. So it is what it is.
Yeah.
But Paul Skenes is about to pitch, I think.
I was going to say it's 7:06. Paul Skenes is on the mound just about now. So let's get out of here so we can get everybody to watch Paul Skenes. Appreciate all of you all tuning in. No sandwiches today with the loss. So hopefully we've got some sandwiches to give away tomorrow. But appreciate each and every one of you. Please like the video. Subscribe to the page if you haven't already. We appreciate all your support. If you do choose that you want to support us even more, you can click on the join button. And you can become an NS9 member. We've got like almost 40 members already. So pretty awesome stuff there. So appreciate each and every one of you guys. Pirates lose 5-2. They are 6-2 on the season. We'll be back at it tomorrow with another post-game show. And hopefully we got some sandwiches to give away.
All right. Sounds good. I'll be on tomorrow, I think. So I'll see you all tomorrow.
All right. See you, everybody. Thanks for watching.
Hey, you all, thank you for watching. I know we try to provide the most entertaining content that we can, and we'd love to spread it to as many people as possible. So I know it doesn't seem like a lot, but if you could take the 5 seconds to like this video and subscribe to the page, it helps out so much more than you know. Thank you, and let's go Bucks.